Cool, so here we are at C++ and Beyond, meeting some of the native developers who are attendees. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Sean Gibb, Director of Software at Rad3 Communications, okay. A local company.
Excellent, so Calgary.
Calgary.
Cool, so what do you guys do?
So our predominant market is either wired or wireless telecommunications.
Okay, and how are you using C++?
For us, C++ serves a couple different purposes. The first thing is that it serves as a simulation language for doing simulations. We build hardware. Ultimately, we're a hardware company that builds integrated circuits. We build very high-performance hardware for high-performance wireless or wired communication systems, such as 100G wired communication hardware or, you know, low gigabit wireless communication. So we use it as a simulation environment. Mostly, we start our work in MATLAB, but pretty quickly we have to go to C++ to get performant code that runs on multiple cores, starting to look at GPUs for squeezing some more performance up, because our simulations, especially as we move into higher and higher data rate systems, require much more runtime to get enough results through to gain any confidence in the system we're building. So we use C++ for that because it can produce performant code. Next thing we use it for is we write a lot of our own tools to assist with conversion of generation of hardware, actually. So people develop tools that in C++ naturally that build the hardware, but sometimes those tools mess up or they don't work as well as they should. So when that happens, we'll build tools to assist with that, or tools that will assist in building components. I've written several generators that actually generate pieces of hardware, all in C++. So C++ is kind of our catch-all language, I guess you'd say.
Excellent. And in terms of where it's going as a language, what are your thoughts on sort of the C++ 11, which should be seen, at least by the time this is out, hopefully? What are your thoughts on where it's going?
So I've been using C++ since, in a technical way, since 1993,
okay.
I guess. And I've seen the evolution. And for me, every time a new set of features gets in, given that we're a small company, we usually adopt them pretty quickly. We've been using, you know, the TR1 since the day it came out.
Interesting.
And as soon as the new features came out, I integrate them into my code because, partially because of the productivity increases that come from the new features. You know, just being able to type less characters to do more work is always a good thing.
Interesting.
And also, you know, I've found for me, things like auto have eliminated dependencies on certain types of code. So I put the auto word in to get rid of an explicit iterator call, and then I decide I need to change the underlying container type. I don't have to go change my code everywhere to, you know, take advantage of a new iterator type. So it saves a lot of, potentially, a lot of time in refactoring cases. So I found, you know, even just simple features like that in Lambdas have increase my productivity a lot, which is always a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, in some sense, we always talk about the language of power and performance, and productivity is sort of something that's kind of pushed over to the side a little bit. But even with, you know, variadic templates and some of those, that's a little outside the box. What did you think of, what do you think of variadic templates anyway?
So most of the code I write, because I build a lot of the libraries we use, is template-based. So for me, templates is all good. Anything they add to templates, I'll take advantage of. So that's my perspective on
On
template. But that's for me has been that's one of the big areas where we've seen a lot of speed improvement is in using templates and inline in our code. Beyond, of course, the obvious, moving to concurrency now in all our code. And I look forward to compiler support probably most of all for concurrency in the new work, because we're so performance bound that concurrency, we have to use concurrency to make any sense for the work we do. And it would be nice to have native support in the compilers, not have to go to external libraries.
Interesting.
And have that native support so that, especially if we license something to customers, they don't have to go and get Boost. They just have to have, you know, a compliant compiler that supports C++ OX.
Interesting. And so in terms of the language features for concurrency, what are some of these?
So the ones that I use right now, naturally, from Boost or Mutex.
Okay.
And
those are the library stuff.
The library stuff.
Yeah.
But just the integration of the library, the stuff about atomics,
yeah,
seems to me to be very interesting, because one of the common things I've had to do is have one little tiny variable that I'm incrementing, let's say, concurrently, and I have to go build a whole mutex around it. It'd be nice if I could just use, because it's an integer, mm-hmm, an atomic around it.
Excellent.
So for me, that would, that just, it's, I mean, in the end, it's all syntactic icing on some level,
mm-hmm,
but because of how we design our systems. But still, syntactic icing is always nice, and, you know, when it lowers code maintenance.
Absolutely.
Since 95% of our time is code maintenance.
Interesting. Now, the standard atomic, which we sort of learned about today, that's going to be, I mean, it is, it's a standard. It's just not necessarily implemented in all of the major, I mean, it's in Boost. I'm not sure if it's yet available in...
I don't think it's in any compilers officially.
It's in no compilers officially, yeah. So yeah, that'll be nice to see. In terms of the tool chains that you use, it seems like I keep talking to everybody. This is actually a cool thing, sort of surprised me to communicate the conversations I've had with many attendees. This isn't a Microsoft conference, that you guys are using Visual C++ in our compiler. And of course, you're also using GCC for any number of reasons. So you use Visual C++, huh?
So our primary development environment is Visual C++. Mm. I think of all the tools, I've used Eclipse, I've used lots of tools. Mm. For us, the Visual Studio tools, mm-hmm, especially, I really like 2010. I know some people don't like it, mm-hmm, but I find it's way better for my development style. Mm. So we use Visual Studio as our primary development environment, most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because of clients, we'll also do cross-compilation in GCC,
mm-hmm,
to ensure that our code will compile in case a client comes along that wants a GCC executable, although many clients will take Microsoft static libraries for their projects as well.
Interesting. So you actually give people libraries in addition to...
When we provide our hardware, often people have their own, like we're the lowest level often of the system, something called the physical layer, which lies entirely in the hardware universe. Most people live in the software universe who are our clients. We'll deliver them a piece of hardware or a simulation of our hardware that acts bit accurate, exactly like the hardware is going to act. Not cycle accurate, but bit accurate.
Wow.
About how the hardware is going to act. And they'll take that model and integrate it into their simulations so that they can do their analysis and software before they get a final delivery of a piece of hardware and make sure that all the kinks and interfacing between the two worlds have been ironed out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll provide static libraries either from GCC or from MSVC to our customers.
So, you know, what don't you like about the language? Are there things that you would like to see evaporate? Or, you know, maybe the language and tool chain associated stuff.
The things that I struggled with in the past maybe the most was template errors.
Mm.
I found those tedious at times, given that I do a lot of template work.
Mm-hmm.
That said, now that I understand what the cryptic messages mean from both Microsoft and GCC, and they both have their own flavor of crypticism, if you will, you know, that doesn't bother me as much. But that's the one feature that I think... And I would say I would like it removed the most because my colleagues don't always know how to get rid of those. So I spend a lot of time at other people's desks looking at template errors because they know that I can read that cryptic language. So I've spent a lot of time in my career, an inordinate amount of time in my career at people's desks removing that. So from that perspective, that's the feature I'd like to see gone the most. Otherwise, you know, every language has warts, and I accept C++'s warts largely.
Cool. Excellent, man. And it does look with the new language enhancements, it's becoming a more beautiful, pimpled giant. But you know, that's one way of describing it. It's interesting. In terms of what you've been learning here, like what's some C++ AMP stuff you learned today? What about other things about this conference? You know, what's kind of surprised you or... You know, what are you really stoked about that you've learned since you've been here?
So the thing I didn't quite appreciate the most, I would say, was the stuff on perfect forwarding. Because I haven't really worked with the move semantics too much or the R-value stuff too much.
Uh-huh.
So I think that I didn't fully appreciate what perfect forwarding could do for you because it's to me, it was a subtle compiler trick that allows you to overcome my biggest concern I had about R values, which was the whole notion of, you know, ending up with function bloat trying to handle all the L value and R value cases of passing arguments around. And as soon as I heard the perfect forwarding, I saw, you know, oh, there's the solution to the problem that I saw. So for me, that's the biggest thing. Now that I've seen that, I can see how I would use R values in my code. Excellent. I think that's probably the biggest thing I've gotten out of it.
Now, do you do anything with template metaprogramming?
Yep.
Okay.
You bet.
All right. I mean, that's functional programming, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I've toyed with it. Some of our libraries, I've used it. I find myself drawn to probably more from anyone who's drawn to, you know, the complexity of it, trying to come up with ingenious ways to do little things. But I have used it. Mm-hmm. I have used it in some of our basic class, our most basic classes. It figures very heavily, in fact, to make the code efficient and very usable and reusable. But, you know, early on I tried to use it everywhere and fit it everywhere because it seemed so cool. And now I've kind of seen, you know, it's a tool with a very specific purpose and should be used with extreme caution.
Yes.
If you want your code to be readable by anyone else on the planet.
That's important.
It is, yeah.
And I think the stuff that's being done in C++ OX 11 is really going to help with readable code, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree.
And it's just, you know, and what are your thoughts on, you know, people who don't program in C++ today or perhaps left and jumped on to Java and .NET or any other number of platforms, but and then coming back or coming to?
So my perspective is probably a little different. I talked to Herb about this yesterday. I said, you know, because he gave his little talk on the Renaissance, C++ Renaissance.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my industry, because I've done lots of embedded coding, and I work very close to IC designers. In that industry, C++ is just blossoming, I would say. It's just coming into the light, so to speak. It's its first renaissance, if you will.
Interesting.
And, you know, I think they're converging at the same time, the value of native code, that embedded programmers, there's compilers are starting to get to the place where they need to be to convince embedded developers that, you know, maybe I can do C++. Maybe start with a limited subset, not, you know, use everything, but I can focus in on certain aspects of C++. So in my industry, I find that I think C++ is gaining traction. And I've, on at least one project myself, in an embedded project, we did it all in C++ at my pushing. I mean, one of my colleagues was a diehard C guy. He just was put off by the decision, but as soon as we pushed into it, he immediately saw the value, and I developed a coding standard that worked for an embedded world for our company within the C++ universe about what kind of things you could use from C++ that were efficient and the things very clearly calling out the potential inefficiencies, which is a big thing in the embedded world.
So can we talk a little bit about what some of those are, like exceptions, I would imagine?
There was no exception handling.
Okay.
There was very careful use of argument passing. Very, very little passed by value. It had to be, you know, basically plain old data types, and very small structures were passed by value. The standard problems of allocation, deallocation. I mean, in our embedded system, we took the decision to only call new. There was no such thing as delete.
Okay.
When the program was done running, it was gone. It cleared its own memory because of memory management on the DSP. But very careful use of assignment operators and constructors, and very clearly understanding when constructors got called. That was really the thing I had to focus with the most with my colleagues, because they came from the C world. They didn't quite understand constructors, especially in inheritance trees, how they would get called. So I spent a lot of time with them, training them up on, you know, when you do this, a constructor is actually called and potentially a destructor. And as soon as they saw it, they could see the value of references and the value of, you know, all these different things. And I think that, you know, once DSPs support, even more importantly, move semantics, it'll get rid of some of those warts, or it'll move them to a different place, maybe, you know. But those were the biggest things I found. The one thing that I noticed that the developer... Oh, and careful use of virtuals, of course.
Okay.
Because virtuals come with the inherent function call overhead. But that said, there was very clear cases in our state machines where virtuals were much better than the function pointer, much more readable than the function pointer approach that the people in our company in C had been using before. So, but it was very carefully, judiciously used. Mm. Every virtual function we vetted against each other to make sure it made sense. Mm. That it was necessary. So those were kind of the things we really avoided.
Excellent. And so in terms of the story, did the C developer finally
Yeah, he came around.
So is he using C++ today?
The thing he really liked, actually, was he used Visual Studio to do all of his modeling.
Okay.
And he built kind of the compiler, or the processor guys provided us with a C++ model. Mm. So he built his C++ code that worked on top of their C++ model. Mm. And he was able to take the Visual Studio code and run it through the Green Hills compiler, and no problem. So he really took to that. And
cool.
He still uses C++ when, I mean, there's still some DSPs that don't support it.
Sure.
And when that happens, you have to go back to old KNRC or something. But,
understood.
You know, whenever he can, he uses it now. And mm. He sucked my brain dry of everything he could about C++.
Good, man. You clearly have a lot of it in there. So,
maybe.
It's interesting about the C++ Renaissance stuff because, in some sense, it actually sounds like, as you had said, the Renaissance isn't just about already existing. Yeah, coming. Well, and we have to be careful. We don't think, like from Microsoft perspective, that it's coming back. It's not like it ever left. But it's blossoming, it's very vigorous and rich at Microsoft, but also clearly in other industries.
Yeah, like and in my industry, it never left.
Right on.
I mean, it's the only language we had. I have to say that during kind of the dark days, when Microsoft wasn't telling the story about C++, I was worried that I would have to go to strictly GCC. Yeah. For me, you know, hearing that more talk about native code is a good thing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the C++ Renaissance in Microsoft is real, man. And it's been great to talk to you. And also, you recommend C++ and beyond for
absolutely,
right
100%.
On. Yep. Right on. Cool, I just wanted to shout out to them. I think it's just a phenomenal event.
It is, for sure.
Great. Well, it's great to meet you, and thanks for coming on C9.
No problem.